call this meeting to order. And I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the 3/4/21, the last meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Point of clarification, since we only currently technically have, never mind. Good, I delayed enough. This is Sean. I make a motion to approve the meeting minutes from March 4, April, what, March 4th, 2021 Historic Sites and Monuments Commission meeting.
So to preempt your question, we actually do have a quorum with three.
Okay, thank you. That was the whole reason I was delaying out.
That's a fair clarification. So there is a motion on the floor to approve the meeting minutes of March 4th, 2021. Is there a second? Okay. Without opposition, the minutes are approved. And going forward, if no one opposes, unless we have a petition and we're going to individually vote, I'm going to go ahead and go with the format of unless there's anyone opposed, instead of going through the whole rigmarole of just approving the minutes. So as long as there's no opposition to that, I'm just going to go with that. But with the regular petition approvals, we'll go with the regular. Everyone's going to individually vote. So for the regular agenda, there is the petition for Georgia Historical Society for 705 East Anderson Street. And Ryan Jarl's staff will do the presentation of the staff recommendation.
Thank you. So the applicant is requesting the Historic Site Monument Commission approve an installation of a Georgia Historical Society historical marker on private property at 705 East Anderson Street. So this is 705 East Anderson Street, and it's actually going to be located here on the corner within this grassy area. You'll see it better in just a moment. This marker is proposed to read, I'm just going to scroll down to it for you. The layout on here is kind of strange, so I got to go all the way to the bottom. I apologize. So I'll read it for you. It says the Blessed Pius High School opened as a co-educational diocesan school in 1952, serving students from Savannah's Black community. The Society of African Missions donated land for the school on property purchased by Father Ignatius Lissner. The school's name changed to St. Pius in 1955 after the canonization of Pope Pius in 1954. St. Pius provided a Catholic education that had not previously been available for African American high school students. Accredited in 1969, St. Pius was closed by the Savannah Diocese shortly afterward as part of its integration plan. The building became the public charter school Savannah Classical Academy in 2013. Notable alumni include Savannah's first African-American mayor, Floyd Adams Jr., and U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. And it will also read that it's being erected by Georgia Historical Society and Waters Foundation Incorporated. So when evaluating themes for markers, monuments, for specifically markers, let me scroll up to a picture here. Just so you can see a better location of that grassy area. The petitioner provided the following statement regarding the theme of the historical marker. So again, the historical marker demonstrates themes of arts and humanities, civic and institutional, as well as local history. And it's kind of lengthy, so I'm going to read some of it. But the following the Civil War, Catholic schools began to open to the public and were developing around the state. So the first of this kind opening in Savannah. In continuation of the church's educational mission, the Society of African Missions donated again the land purchased by Father Ignatius. And so it does kind of go through all of what I spoke about earlier. But it was built specifically to accommodate the Black student population from Catholic elementary schools. Due to mandated segregation in Georgia's public school system, many parents saved money to send their children to a school that provided a similar educational experience afforded to Savannah's white children. Serving students of both Catholic and non-Catholic faith, the school had modern classrooms, a library, a science lab, and shortly after receiving accreditation by the Charter of the Southern Association in 1969, as I previously mentioned, the diocese announced the school's closure to integrate the diocesan schools. Soon, students who left St. Pius due to its closure attended other Catholic schools, such as St. Vincent's Academy and the Benedictine Military School. Despite its closure in 1971, St. Pius has a legacy of producing influential attendees and alumni, such as, again, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, as well as educator Armand Lewis, Savannah's first African-American mayor, the Honorable Floyd Adams, historian Charles Elmore, Judge Orion Douglas, Alderwoman Mary Osborne. Alumni of St. Pius emphasized the sense of community provided by the school, with students participating in extracurriculars such as choir and sports. And their basketball team actually won the Georgia Class A basketball championship in 1964. And today the Alumni Association is still active and continues to build on the sense of community provided by that original school. When evaluating the site itself, the site currently does not have any objects, I'm putting that in quotations, so that's referring to things that you guys would approve of. And there are no visually related examples of historic markers within sight. No vegetation is proposed to be altered in any way, other than obviously the small amount of grass here in the corner. And the historical marker is proposed to be located in this front western corner of the front yard. Information on the location of ground utilities has not been provided. However, just based on looking at this picture, staff has no concerns that anything would be in the way there. The front yard of the property is not specifically utilized for special events, although it is assumed due to the use of this property that there will be special events held on the property, but not necessarily in this tiny little front yard corner. So we have no issues with that. There is one rule that one item within the guidelines that states the proposed site should not be prone to frequent automobile accidents, which could damage the proposed object. We're not specifically aware of this site being necessarily prone to automobile accidents, but it is on a major road. So that could potentially be a problem, but staff didn't really see that as a huge issue. So the historical marker is easily accessible to pedestrians and is visible from this accessible sidewalk as well as the street. When looking at the character of the surrounding neighborhood, this historical marker will bring light to that previously untold story that I just read through with you of the neighborhood, and it would enhance the character of the surrounding neighborhood as well. And the site does not include any objects that, when with this item being included, would significantly affect any sort of sight lines for automobiles, with it being so far off the street. And it is located within 100 feet of the property for which its content represents. So this, just like all other GHS markers, is the same design. So it does meet all required design requirements within the master planning guidelines. When looking at funding, the applicant has stated that they have secured the necessary $5,000 for this item, and they will not require an escrow payment due to the fact that it's on private property, as well as the Georgia Historical Society, they maintain all of their own historical markers. So staff's recommendation is that the Historic Site and Monument Commission hereby approve the installation of the Georgia Historical Society historical marker within the front yard at 705 East Anderson Street as proposed, because the petition meets the guidelines set forth within the HSMC master planning guidelines. And I open for any questions that anyone may have.
Thanks, Ryan. Are there any questions of staff by the board? Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Ryan, can you go back to the picture of the, nope, not that picture, the other, that one. To go further to the right, like over by where the street is. Yes, down at the sidewalk. Is that like a, for lack of a term, wheelchair accessible ramp? You know what's,
it is. It's an ADA sidewalk, so okay, it's extra large here to accommodate.
Just if there was like the ramp to go down.
There is, yes.
Okay, yep. Thank you.
Any other questions of staff?
Question.
Tom?
Maybe this I should ask of the petitioner. Did you consider, I mean, why did you consider this location as opposed to a location closer to the entrance where it would be visible to visitors coming to the site?
That would be a question for them. But as staff, I would assume that the location on the corner just allows for a greater visibility from multiple directions instead of just at the entrance of the building. But you can ask Elise Butler. She is online.
Any other questions of the staff? There's no more questions. Is the petitioner here to speak?
Yes. Hi, this is Elise Butler. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will go ahead and start by saying that the location was chosen because the corner is located at the original St. Pius High School. The current entrance is a new addition that was built just a few years ago. So this is actually the site of St. Pius High School. And I'm happy to answer any other questions that you may have.
Elise, thanks for that. Do you have anything else to say before we go into questions, or is that it?
Oh, no, I'm just, you know, this is a part of the city that there are not very many, if any, historical markers. So it's great to be able to tell the story of, you know, Savannah's Catholic education, especially for the African-American population within the city, and to bring historical markers out towards this end and not just within what is considered the traditional historical district.
Yeah, I agree. And I commend you all for that. Tom has a question.
Yeah, I agree. I was very pleased to see that you were proposing a historical marker well outside of the traditional downtown historic district, and one that commemorated a significant institution within the African-American community. My question really is, I'm curious about this site in that how much of it, this has been completely rebuilt, if I understand. And is there anything that actually survives from the original church, from the original school?
Yes. Yes. The portion of the school that you see, that is the one story, basically this corner that you see is the original site of St. Pius. I spoke with the principal at Savannah Classical Academy, and we helped pinpoint the location, as well as historian Charles Elmore, who was, as the text mentions, was an attendee at the school.
Okay, thank you for that. I was very curious about that, having seen this go up in the past few years and actually being looking at it too at one point. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner? Lisa?
Hi, this is Lisa. Can we go to the wording of the marker? Thank you. I'm just curious of the very last line, if it's necessary to mention people. I only say this because I read everything and was so excited, and unfortunately there's one person on there that's still alive, and there might, well, is Floyd, I'm sorry, is Floyd Adams still living? No, he passed. I'm just wondering I'm going to just mention the elephant in the room. Anita Hill was pretty much my first heroine, as somebody I looked up to as I was entering the workforce as a woman. So I just, sometimes place naming isn't appropriate, and it really, everything mentioned on the marker is great except for that. And I was just wondering what, you know,
sure,
if that's something that can be reworked or.
Sure. So I will say, for the entire Georgia Historical Marker Program, which includes over 2,100 historical markers across the state, anytime that we talk about a high school or any type of school, college, even religious institution, we typically do reference alumni or prominent preachers or attendees. So this is completely within the norm of the marker program. And I think we would be remiss not to mention some of the notable, whether or not you they're somebody that you agree with or not. I mean, I think it's important to talk about the people who came out of this school. And especially, as I mentioned before, this is standard throughout the statewide program.
Lisa, do you have any follow-up?
I think my co-commissioners are going to follow up for me.
I think Sean had his hand up first. Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Lisa, thank you for bringing up that one specific person. Ryan, this may actually be a question for you as well. So the city has a policy of not naming sites after living people. I want to say that as unfortunately, but the one person in question, Justice Thomas, is living. Former Mayor Floyd Adams is no longer living, so I don't see an issue with him being included in it. Now, as Lisa had previously mentioned, among very many other questionable things in Justice Thomas's career, yes, Anita Hill is a huge, why is that person being named? But is it okay for Justice Thomas to be included in it since he is still living?
Yeah, I can answer that. So the master planning guidelines, the portion you're referring to when it's talking about a person needing to be deceased for 25 years, that's referring to if the marker or monument is commemorating them specifically. This is just somebody being mentioned as an alumni of the school that is being commemorated. So technically, yes, they can be included. So that's solely up to, you know, whether or not this becomes, you know, like a freedom of speech situation
right,
at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
So then thank you, Ryan. My last question, Eileen, thank you again for doing these. It's actually ironic that you had submitted this when somebody in my neighborhood association was specifically asking me about how to do this. And I said, reach out to the Georgia Historical Society. They do these things all the time. And you just happened to show up on the agenda when it had been mentioned. So is Savannah Classical Academy or St. Pius, Georgia Historical Society, so on and so forth, do you have objection if we were to make the approval to, assuming that this would pass, if we removed Clarence Thomas's name from the list of alumni?
Yes, I think so, because, you know, you have to take the past with the good and the bad. You have to look at it holistically. So whether or not you agree or are in disfavor of Clarence Thomas, that does not change the fact that he was a notable alumni of the school. There are several other historical markers that also mention Clarence Thomas. So it's not, you know, it's not out of the ordinary to list him. It's not, you know, whether you agree with him or not, it's just stating the fact that he attended the school. And that honestly brings it not just to the local and state level, but it also brings it to the significance of a national level. So this is something we would have, you know, if it was a different county, a different school with somebody else that was also, you know, that had some sort of notoriety, we would also list them because it is a holistic look at the past.
Okay, so just as a point of clarification, and this is my last thing, I know you got your hand up, Tom, sorry. My last question is, you had mentioned some other notable figures, alumni of the school as well. Would any of those by any chance be able to be replaced by, in your opinion, or even the Waters Foundation's opinion, be able to be a suitable replacement for Clarence Thomas? I understand yes, I can think of an interchange that's also named after him currently in the Chatham County. But my question again, can he be removed and replaced with somebody else?
I would be hesitant to say yes to that. Like I said, it brings adding him to this historical marker connects St. Pius to a national level significance, and no other alumni does that. We can certainly add somebody in addition to him, but just by removing him, it doesn't do anything to further the marker, the marker's narrative by removing Justice Clarence Thomas.
Okay, thank you.
Tom.
Yeah. When I saw that, I also thought about the whole incident and his controversy. However, I would be adamantly not supporting to remove this name because, first of all, you're right. He is on other markers. He's on the pinpoint marker that I remember seeing him, if I recall correctly. And the fact that he is the first African-American on the Supreme Court is hugely significant. Mm-hmm. And to take it away, even though maybe your politics disagrees with it, I don't think we should let our own personal preferences and politics get in the way of what is truly a part of history. You're right. I mean, whether we like him or not is irrelevant of whether he should be mentioned as a hugely significant figure in the history of America, really, to exclude him would be really a problematic, and I would definitely not support that at all.
So let me, Sean, I know you have a rebuttal. So let me do this. We are going to have a board discussion, and let me table this particular discussion for the board discussion period after public comment. And if there are any other questions specifically of the petitioner, I'll allow that. And then we can discuss amongst ourselves those issues, because I also have some thoughts on that as well. Sean.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
If you have a question of the petitioner.
I just wanted to make a point of clarification to what Tom had stated. Clarence Thomas is not the first African American on the Supreme Court.
That's correct.
That's Thurgood Marshall. Clarence Thomas is the
correct.
Second one.
But let's save that.
That's all I just wanted to say. Sorry.
That's correct. But let's save that for the board discussion. Does anyone else have a question directly of the petitioner? So if there's no other questions of the petitioner, Elise, thank you. Thank you for your informed answers to that. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I have to say that I agree with Tom about the, you know, the idea. I think it would be a poor decision to remove reference to Justice Clarence Thomas. I think he is regardless of how your personal feelings feel about him, it really brings the historical marker text to a statewide level and shows or national level and shows the broad reach of St. Pius's, the high school. So, but thank you all for reviewing, and I appreciate your discussion on this, and I will let you all continue.
Thank you, Elise. I do have a question though. It's my understanding there the historical marker over at the Carnegie Library on Henry Street, Clarence Thomas mm-hmm. is mentioned in that one as well. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct, as well as the pinpoint historical marker.
Okay, thank you for that. So, there being no other questions of the petitioner, are there members of the public that are here to speak on behalf of the petition? We do have two members here. Are you all here to speak or just to observe? Okay, no problem.
If you're online, if you just use the raise your hand feature.
Yeah, raise your hand feature, we will wait if there are any members of the public waiting online to comment. We'll wait for you.
There is no one.
Okay, so it doesn't seem that there is any members of the public here to comment. So now we can open this up to board discussion, and we can revisit this issue. And Lisa, I think your points were important, and Sean as well, and Tom. So if you all have any additional comments or discussion on that matter, As Elise said, I mean, and I know I do remember that we did approve the Carnegie Library historical marker, which does mention Clarence Thomas. He also is, there are a lot of members of the African-American community in Savannah that do see him as, that is the highest court in the land, regardless of whether we agree or disagree with some of his issues. There's a number of people that have, that are mentioned on these historical markers, in my opinion, that I may or agree with or not. It is the highest court in the land, and it is significant that he is not the first African-American, but one of the only African-Americans on that court. And to omit him would, in my opinion, seem, that gets into personal politics, because then that means that we're all, if this board was made up of people who disagreed with another justice of the court, does that mean that their name gets taken off of something? It seems, while I am not a fan of him personally, it seems a little bit unreasonable to omit a name on the highest court of the land, particularly an African American. It seems a little bit egregious, and I will, and this isn't a disrespect to Lisa or Sean. This is an all white board, and I think that it would be a bad signal to take a black man off of that. That's just my opinion, and I totally respect that. Tom, and then Lisa, please disagree with me if you like, but that's my opinion.
Well, I would think that I don't like General Sherman either and what he did. But if the idea was to make a historical marker and not mention his name at historical events, as a historian, someone who studied history all my life, it would seem like that's really the, reworking history to fit modern politics, which is really what a historian is not supposed to do, But anyway, that's my personal bent and being a historian.
Lisa, I mentioned your name. Please feel free to disagree with me.
I just want to add, this isn't a political issue. It's a sexual harassment and gender discrimination issue. That's all.
Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Yes, I wanted to completely reiterate exactly what Lisa said. Now, Mr. Chairman, exactly what you had said. Yes, my politics nowhere near where Clarence Thomas is, but it's not a matter of politics. I'm completely taking that out. Lisa could not have said it better when she started her statement off with, when I saw that name show up, it's immediately what draws into my head. It's Anita Hill. And I do want to correct you, Mr. Chairman. The Sites and Monuments Commission is not entirely white.
I'm saying the board as it currently stands, we vote, are all white people up here.
Yes. I just wanted to make sure that was clear, that we are not but again, it's not a race matter. It's not a race issue. It's Anita Hill.
No, but I understand that. But my point is that since there are no black people up here, I am going to say that Clarence Thomas does definitely signify an achievement for the black community, particularly the Gullah Geechee community in Savannah. And I want to voice that, because there's no one else on this commission that was going to voice that probably. And I don't disagree with what you're saying, Lisa. I'm not trying to disagree with what you're saying either, but I'm going to voice that, because I think that there's no one else here to voice that. Please continue, but I want to make that point.
And I'm not trying to say that. No, again, I'm just clearly stating, and I want to make sure that it's clear, it is entirely because of Anita Hill. I mean, I don't even want to repeat what he did. That's the entire issue. I mean, if that was, and Tom, you're also accurate, where from a historical aspect, that does play into account, but I don't know, but I do have a lot of issues with what he did. I know that if anybody in this room, call, in the sound of my voice, so on and so forth, were to do that, he or she would be in jail as a result of that. This person, Justice Thomas did not. So, but yes, you are completely correct. Being the second, and unfortunately, I don't want to say final, but the most recent appointment to the Supreme Court cannot be taken away. I mean, I think being nominated for the Supreme Court is a huge achievement, and he was actually able to be confirmed. Exactly what Lisa had stated, Benita Hill is the entire question as to whether or not. Now, luckily, or not luckily, but you're right, there is precedent for other markers throughout the city, which I'm glad both yourself and Elise had mentioned previously. So that's my big hesitation. The national tie-in aspect is rather important, but at the same time, what he did to Anita Hill is unacceptable.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to add, these five items here are the criteria of which you guys are able to review the text within these markers. So I just want to add that before anyone tries to go any further with certain language. I'm just going to scroll down a little more, see if there's any other information included, but I think, these five items that are listed, if I can get up to them again, it's running very slowly, I apologize. You just want to read through them.
Mr. Chairman,
let's let Ryan finish and then.
Oh, okay.
If I can do that, just go ahead, Ryan, and then Sean, I'll go to you.
Yep. So I'm just also going to add that if you're looking back into Robert's Rules of Order, decisions you make can't be based on your opinions. So it has to be based solely on what you are able to review and the items within your master planning guidelines.
Did we want to go over these criteria or no?
I was just going to let you read through them if you want.
Yeah. Sean, if you had a, I think that we don't need to get into the rewriting of history. And I mean, Lisa, I don't want to undermine anyone's opinions or anything. Those are a matter of public record at this point. And this conversation is a matter of public record, but there is precedent for Clarence Thomas being named on other historical markers. For us to remove his name seems questionable to me. This is a democracy, and we're gonna. Sean, if you have any parting comments.
The last thing I was gonna say. Sorry, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. This is Sean. The last thing I would say is his name clearly fits under four, and it's item number four, which is text should avoid offensive, obscene, or inflammatory language. Yes, I know it's a person's name, but again, everything that's tied to that person's name, again, I've said her name well over 10 times, Anita Hill. I think it's going to be the board member's decision as to whether or not that Justice Thomas's name invokes inflammatory language or offensive language, or I'm not saying either way, but it's going to be the board members, in my view anyway, as to whether or not it fits under item number four.
Tom.
This is Tom Gensheimer. I can't possibly see how the name Clarence Thomas is offensive, obscene, or inflammatory language by definition, even though it invokes certain ideas. And if you think the Anita Hill thing wasn't political, I would say the whole event of sexual harassment, all of this is political. Well, our discussion is political. So I don't know. There's no way I could support not including him. It just seems like it would be, again, kind of it's like revisionist history. It's interpreting history along in a direction that really says more about us now and what we're thinking than really reality of what historical markers are supposed to include and delineate personally. I think it would be a huge grave error to allow our personal feelings, and I have them too. I'm not a stone. I was there. I sat through everything, and I do agree that what he did was inappropriate, but he wasn't thrown in jail for it. Well, that's irrelevant anyway. The point is, he's a historical figure. He came from this area. It's appropriate for him to be mentioned in this context, I think. It'd be inappropriate not to mention it. Enough.
Eileen, we haven't heard from you. I'm happy to give you attention.
I agree with you, Tom. Additionally, it's a school, and he did go to school there. And that's actually what the text is talking about. It's about, this was at St. Pius, it was a school, and Classical Academy is a school, and this is the site. So, you know, I think it's, yes, it evokes emotion, but I think it's a really, the marker itself is, I wouldn't call it a piece of art to drive emotion. So I see no objection. I think it would be wrong not to include his name in the marker. Clarence Thomas.
Thanks, Eileen. Huh? Any other thoughts, Lisa, Sean? Go ahead.
One last comment. I agree with all of you. I really do. I think it just put a negative on the school itself. You know, that somebody can do that to somebody and become one of the most important males. That's all. So I was just asking the petitioner, you know, what their thought was, if that was what they wanted their school to be. That's all.
I mean, I think it's significant, and I think that this important is discussion, is an important discussion, and we're on the record as having this discussion now. So this is now a matter of public record that this wasn't just willy-nilly approved, and there was a lot of objection to this person's name being on this historical marker. So I mean, that is what it is. I'll say one last thought on my opinion. If I see, you know, if there is, for instance, a young Black kid who is going male, who is going to that school, and he sees a historical marker that has Clarence Thomas as a Supreme Court justice, that's something to aspire to, whether he agrees or not agrees with the decisions or not. To me, I see that as a positive thing. I am no fan of Justice Clarence Thomas, with all due respect, but it is a matter of historical record. And I mean, it's just stating a fact. It's stating a fact that Floyd Adams and Clarence Thomas went to this school. And those are, I mean, to me, that's not objectionable, but I think that the issues that are brought up here were very valid. And it's now a matter of public record that we had this discussion about this. So I appreciate everyone's participation in that. Sean, if you have a last thought.
I was just going to say, Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion. Sorry, Mr. Chairman, this is Sean. Thank you. I would like to make a motion to accept staff's recommendation as stated.
That's very, very big of you, Sean. Appreciate that. There's a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
I thought that was a motion.
That was a motion.
I've got a second there.
So there's a second. So all in favor, Eileen, we'll go down the line.
Eileen.
State your name and
Eileen.
Sean.
Hoping you mess up this time. just kidding. This is Sean. With extreme,
you made the motion, Sean.
I say, yay.
Lisa. You can oppose.
No, this is Lisa A.
Tom.
This is Tom Gensheimer. Aye.
So the motion passes. I really appreciate that discussion, and I hope that that discussion didn't undermine any of the points that Sean or Lisa made, because I think they're important. But the motion passes. Thank you. Thank you, Elise. And I just, Elise, are you still there?
It's man's world.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Elise, I just, regardless of all that, I do want to just commend you. You know, I've sort of banged the drum for more representation of African-American history in these historical markers. And I just want to applaud you. And I say I appreciate how much work you've done. I know that you've done a lot. And thank you. Thank you for bringing this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you all for reviewing the application today. And I hope to be in front of you in person again sometime soon.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, moving along. We have other business, the update on the master plan and guidelines update. This is Ryan's masterwork, this is his life legacy to at least to this board.
Thank you. So you have already seen this document. You all provided me with your comments and I've added those comments. So this is literally just here. It is the exact same thing you saw last time, but with those additional comments added. So you can freely look through this as you want. It is on the agenda, so you can go back and look through it. My main thing I wanted to show you today is that we had spoken previously about those maps and lists that were being created. I just wanted to show you those maps that are going to be available to the public as well now. So this one here is specifically just showing monuments. And so you can see it's a nice clear map now. The downtown area with so many had to become an inset map. And you can see that here. So each of these numbers corresponds to a number on a list that will tell you what monument that is, the name of the monument, and then general information about it as well. And then again, a map showing murals. This one, there's a little bit less of than there are monuments. So you can see there's not an inset. And then, it didn't open. Here's the markers one with, again, an inset. The markers one did get a little complicated. Solely because there is an area you can see here showing items number 107 through 126 being located within Colonial Park Cemetery. So you'll see a larger list of that off to the side as well, which will be kind of like an additional item. So this will be separate from the list. So there will be maps and lists. Previously, they were shown together within the document. They're now outside of the document, and they will be separated so that you can look at either the map or the corresponding list of items. So that is really the update. And again, you can look through these, and if you have any additional comments when you're looking through it and you see anything else that may have been missed, we will accept those, obviously. And then the next step beyond that, we don't know when it will happen. So we'll get you more on that information later.
Any questions, Sean? Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. Real quick, Ryan, did you want us to focus on just the blue version or the red version? Because the blue lined or the red lined? Because I know you probably never want to have me proofread something ever again. But I thought the blue line was the updated version.
That's correct. Yeah. Okay, so you were looking through the correct one. The red line is literally only items that have been taken out. So the blue document that you're looking through would be the updated version. So any comments you would have, please utilize the blue version when you're reading through. The red line document is solely just redlining, taking out of items.
Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure that I was right on that.
Any other questions, comments?
Does everyone like the maps?
I love it.
That's a good start.
I have a question. Are you scarred for life from this?
No.
Okay, good. I want to say, like, I really appreciate this. This is thankless work, and this is detailed, tedious stuff, and it's stuff that doesn't always get recognized. But I really, frankly, appreciate it because it's something that needed to be done. And so, I mean, your work has not gone unnoticed. So thank you for doing that. Any other questions or comments? So Ryan, you hit all those points. You didn't need to say anything on those. On the points of the master plan, there's no other.
No, it was just solely just to show you the new maps pretty much, because you had all sent me your updates and I'd updated it to that. So it is what you all approve of at this point. But if you want to read through again, like I said, and just see if there's anything else missing that we can catch right before, you know, it goes any further, and then to show you the maps.
So I have two quick things. We have one thing at the end, but I have two quick issues that aren't on the agenda. One of the things is I spoke with Gordon Denny, who's the director of Greenscapes, regarding the Yamacraw Public Art Project, or Yamacraw Public Art Park, pardon me, that's in Yamacraw Village, that was done by Jerome Meadows. It's been in disrepair for many, many years, and I have personally been trying to push for there to be some repairs. I'm not the only one. I don't want to take credit, but there's been a number of people that have been pushing for that. That park is being repaired now. Gordon has been he's awesome, by the way. He's been working with me great, and he's and with a number of other people as well. But he has just been approved. I have asked him to come before this commission and give an update on that park, because as we went over the bylines, one of our main tasks here as the commission, which we don't usually do, is make sure that these monuments and memorials are kept up. We don't have a budget, so that's not something we necessarily always do. But I think it's important that this is happening and that this board is aware of that. So he was approved SPLOS funding to do some of the repairs, including some of the plaques that were taken off. And he's done some repairs to the fountain and a number of other things. And I know, Sean, you speak with him probably as well, right? Maybe not regarding that park specifically, but.
Yes. This is Sean. Yes, he actually provides for every single Park and Tree Commission meeting, he actually provides an update from Greenscapes, whether it include tree removals, tree plantings, or also park updates, and those he breaks it down into. So happy that Eileen can't remember exactly what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah, he mentioned that when we were talking. That's why I said that.
It's all in his report, which is at the beginning of every single tree commission meeting.
So that's all. I mean, that's awesome. But we're not privy to that, and we don't need to be privy to that for most of that stuff.
So it is completely 100% open to the public.
Yeah.
All of our meetings are. Okay. Yes, I'm going on a rant now for my Park and Tree Commission. They're always open to the public. There's a Facebook page I can forward, and if you would like, I can present a brief overview by either myself or Eileen, because she also sits on the Park and Tree Commission. We can provide a very quick brief synopsis and even submit the Greenscapes report that Director Denny provides to us at the beginning of every single meeting as well.
So that's at every meeting then?
Yes.
Okay, that's cool.
It usually takes 15 minutes or so.
I don't know if it's necessary. I mean, I'd ask the rest of the board, but I think maybe if it's relevant to our purview, maybe when it doesn't relate to what we're doing here, it's not necessary. I mean, I mean that might be up to your discretion or not. I mean, maybe this is a perfect example of why you're on this board, I guess, you know.
So what I can say this is, and Tom, since we've already made it through 50 minutes and I haven't said it yet, I think every single time we talk about trees is going to be relevant. but what I can do, Mr. Chairman, is I can forward you his report after he submits it to me, which I will have on the third Tuesday of the month. And then you can decide whether or not, if the board's okay with that, I can leave it up to the discretion of the chairman to decide whether or not you would like more detail or so on and so forth.
I mean, is that something the rest of the board? I mean, I would almost rely on you to say it's up to your discretion to say if there is something. I mean, well, what does the rest of the board think? I mean, thoughts on that, Tom?
I was just going to say I was worried that Sean was going to complain about the little grass that Ryan said he was going to take away for that, you know, that plaque. But I'm glad he didn't object to the grass removal. No, I'm just kidding.
Trees only, trees.
Do you all have any thoughts on like whether or not we need, I mean, I don't want to take up too much time, you know, for some of these meetings. I mean, this was a short meeting, so it's not a big deal. But for some of the longer meetings, I don't know if it's relevant. I don't know if Lisa or Eileen, if you think it's necessary.
I would like, this is Lisa, sorry. I would like that, actually, because I'm a little, I have to call Gordon often, and I'm really confused about that department. I get transferred here and there, and then I end up spending 3 weeks getting nothing done. So the more I understand, too, for a personal level, but I would love to know what's going on with the Yamacraw as well, too.
Eileen, do you have thoughts?
I agree. Lisa, I think part of it also is Parkentry or Greenscapes is the agency that it actually is responsible for monument maintenance and et cetera, whereas MPC and Historic Sites is, the way I understand it, is more of a policy, that sort of
approval disapproval, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
So you know, you ask, is that something we need to see and spend time on? You know, I think it would almost be, if the Jerome Meadows work went back in, it's been so long, it's been out, it would almost be like a new project.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of citizens and all. So,
well, but, and I know, and this is something I told Gordon as well. Thank you for that. I mean, something I told Gordon as well, which I know, is when that project was initiated, this process, it did not come through this board, because, and that's one of the reasons it's fallen into disrepair, was because there was no process that required maintenance. So it ended up falling on the city, which it doesn't necessarily always do. If at this point, and if that same project came before this board, we would require some sort of escrow or some sort of plan for maintenance, so it wouldn't fall to the city. And that's what, as I understand it, that's what Gordon's issue was, is that he has general maintenance issues, a general budget that he does maintenance from, but some of these larger repairs, and he actually talked to me, and I asked him if I could report this back to the board, is that there's, and I'll let him actually go into this, but he said that they did an estimate of what it would cost to repair all monuments and memorials in Chatham County, and it's $1.7 million to get it right up to speed. That's the top end of like getting everything up, Sean.
Now I
want to make sure, I mean, I hope I'm getting that right. I'm going to invite him to make sure that he gets that right, but go ahead.
And only reason I was double checking on that number was because Greenscapes is only for the city of Savannah.
That may be.
Not. So like Pooler, like Tom Triplett.
Okay, so that may be, yeah.
So it wouldn't include any of, it wouldn't include non-city, now it might include unincorporated, but I don't think so.
Right, okay.
I don't really think anything fits under.
No, that's a good point.
But that number that he would provide would only be for the city of Savannah.
And so that's why I wanted to ask him, and if you all are amenable to this, I asked him to come and not do a detailed presentation, but to do to talk to us about the difficulties. Well, I wanted him to talk about Yamacraw Village and also, you know, what issues he has keeping up some of these memorials and monuments, because that is under our purview. We don't have a budget, so I don't know. I mean, maybe we don't have as much leverage. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe we do have tons of leverage, but but I mean, I think that him at least coming in front of this board to have that discussion, we're all aware of that, and then Park and Tree is aware of that. I mean, obviously you're getting briefed already anyway, Sean, but would you, I mean, is that something you all would be amenable to me inviting him to talk about this? Okay. If there's no objection, I'm going to say yes. Tom?
I hate trees. But I do want to see the monuments maintained.
So the long and the short of this is that the Yamacraw Village Public Art Park is being repaired at this moment, and that's a good thing.
Sean. No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry. That you actually bring up a very interesting point, Tom. I don't agree with your.
Okay. I have one other. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, did you want to make a real point?
What I just wanted to say was the Park and Tree Commission is actually working on and finalizing our priorities. One of the issues that Director Denny had specifically brought up was currently, and please staff, correct me if I'm wrong, but from what Director Denny had stated in that when we were discussing what our priorities should be as a commission was there really is no monuments basically are in there. Oh, they're approved or from MPC and, or excuse me, the HSMC, and if have to, then they go off to city council and they kind of just fall into like a nothingness area. So one of the things that we at the Park and Tree Commission want that fits under the proposed priorities and they'll all be voted on in April, whatever that the third Tuesday in April is how we want to actually focus on monuments as well, the maintenance of monuments, because just like yourself and Tom had mentioned, they fall under the purview of greenscapes.
They also fall under the purview of this board under our bylaws.
I thought it was just for approval.
Nope, it's maintenance as well. That, am I not correct? Because I definitely read over the bylaws and that is something, it's something we don't do and we don't have a budget for, but it is in our mandate.
As of at this time, this board's way of going about that was the requirement within the approval that it be maintained, whether it be through escrow or some other form. I will say that I've seen escrow payments that have been received by the city. They are extremely low and they don't actually cover as much as what you'd think. So yes, under your purview, how that has been in the past has just been through approving with that being a requirement of it.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Tom's been here longer, but I mean, I've been here for 8 years. I've never dealt with any sort of escrow payment for a project since I've been here. I mean, even though that's part of the, but anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, great
first,
point.
Like first I said, of all, right. I'm sorry. If I may, this is Melanie Wilson. Hi, everybody. I'm sorry to kind of chime in late. Thank you all for thanking Ryan. I think he's done a marvelous job and he's going to be missed definitely by MPC. One of the things that I just want to throw out and throw out. I'm sorry. One of the things I wanted to throw out and suggest to you all that as you're talking about this issue of maintenance, I think, and this is just a suggestion for you to think about that. When you start talking about monuments and maintenance, that becomes one of the things that people come to visit Savannah for, to have that experience. And since the hotel and motel tax increase didn't go through this round, there might be opportunity to talk to either whomever comes in as new city manager, but the elected officials about seeing whether there could be a portion of that money, even if it's $250,000 or whatever, put aside to deal with maintenance. The reason that the cost is so high right now is because a lot of the times things get built, but nobody thinks about the fact that there's a maintenance cost. So I just throw that out as a way of that being definitely probably a very appropriate use of some of those funds coming in, since people come in from all over the world to experience the sites and monuments of Savannah.
Right. And thank you, Melanie, for saying that. Actually, that's one of the things Gordon had mentioned was the preservation fee is now no longer. And what he mentioned is one, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but one of the things he mentioned was, you know, the silver lining to that is the preservation fee only applied to a certain parameter. And Yamacraw Village, the Yamacraw Public Art Park fell outside of that parameter. So he wasn't able to use preservation fee money to repair that. So that's kind of in the weeds of stuff, but I mean, that's stuff that, like, you know, he understands, but people get upset at him for not being able to fix the park because he doesn't have the money, but he doesn't have the general funds to do it, and he can't use the preservation fee money to do it. So that this is an opportunity. When I was talking to Gordon, this is an opportunity for us to maybe, you know, think about how we can maybe push or leverage ourselves to, like, talk about what other revenue sources there are to utilize this, Sean.
And that's why I mentioned the opportunity. So listen again to what I'm saying. If the board, if the legislature did not approve, at least at this point that I know of, The request to increase the fees for hotel and motel tax, which has to go to some kind of, you know, part of it is for kind of general operations. The other part was tourism and things of that nature. I'm telling you that I think this is probably a great opportunity to talk about the funding, providing a funding source or making a request that some of those funds, even if it's, like I said, $250,000, I think that the projection that they had was that it was a $65 million plus request. I think, and that was annually, that maybe you get $250,000 annually that goes toward maintaining sites and monuments, which are, you know, basically, you know, visited by tourists. So are you following me now?
Yeah, that's so you're saying that some of that budget goes to us, is that correct?
That's correct, and that if that is something that you all are talking about from the standpoint of maintenance, then the thing would be to give some consideration, and this is something you have to decide about whether you want to make a request that, you know, if they go back to the legislature next year, because they always ask, how will those funds be allocated? And you have to kind of explain how it will benefit, you know, the public or the community. And when you think that the fact that people come to Savannah for the architecture, the sites, and the monuments, that to me, this is the prime time to make the request that there be some funds that go to a dedicated source. So you get it going into a dedicated account specifically for maintenance for sites and monuments. And if you've got a $1.7 million cost to just get them up to speed, maybe you tear it up and say, hey, could we get, you know, half of that 1.7 1 year and the other half the next year, and then have an ongoing maintenance account? There's different ways to do that, but this is the time to start thinking strategically about whether, you know, this is a good time to try to get a little bit of that money to go to sites and monuments.
That is an excellent, excellent, excellent suggestion, Melanie. Thank you for saying that, because and that's why I brought up the fact that we are mandated, and this board was created at the state level. So and part of our mandate is to upkeep that. That's one of the original, going through the bylaws again, that's one of the original mandates that we have for this board. So I think that we're on good standing for that. So thank you, Melanie, for saying that. I mean, that's actually an excellent, excellent idea. Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sean. I just wanted to finish my statement that I was making earlier. Thank you, Melanie, for also bringing that up as well.
That's a great suggestion. I appreciate
so,
that.
So, like I was saying, the Park and Tree Commission, because again, we are the commission tied with Greenscapes, formerly Park and Tree Department, and Greenscapes is the department responsible for maintaining of the monuments, so on and so forth. And that's actually one of the proposed priorities for the Park and Tree Commission, to where we will be presenting those to city council, so on and so forth. And exactly what Melody had mentioned, one of the things that, one of the additional priorities as well, is being a more active advocate for Greenscapes at the city council level. So what you're exactly talking about is literally already what the Park and Tree Commission is doing.
That's
so
awesome.
With that being said, I just want to sum it up by two things. One, I invite you and anybody else in the sound of my voice, you're more than welcome to attend the Park and Tree Commission meeting on April, whatever this is, the third Tuesday in April.
Every third Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay.
Except for February, but we're done with that one. Every third Tuesday of the month, they're all via Zoom for right now until we go back to face-to-face, and you are more than welcome to provide public insight, whatever you would like. And that's that point. And then the second and final point is, if you want me to provide the, and I didn't get much clarification other than you support it, but I just wanted to make sure that I don't.
No, I wanted to revisit that and clarify it. Yeah. So what is the consensus? I mean, I think that I would leave it to your discretion to say that if there's something that's just not, if there's a month that's just completely irrelevant to us, I don't think we need to waste time on it. But I think that I'll leave it to your discretion, and maybe we'll include an agenda item for an update from Park and Tree. Is that, does that make sense?
Yes. And let me do this. If you don't mind, I don't mean to put Lisa on the spot, but she has actually come and attended us one of the last in-person meetings. And just to joke around with Lisa, after that, we've been virtual since. but she can actually give you an unbiased view, and same thing with Eileen as well, as to how those actually happen and what is actually typically involved in those. So I would leave it up to the input of both Eileen and Lisa as to how in depth you want me to go. And I'll make sure to send you the most recent one from what month are we in? April. So the March report. Okay. I'll send that to you, Mr. Chairman. And then you can.
And staff as well. We'll just staff. CC staff. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you just can decide how you want to distribute.
That makes sense. And maybe we can just, as a matter of course, include an agenda item. And if maybe that's an update from Park and Tree, I'll go over that, kind of see what I think, and then we can all kind of do input. Tom's not in that loop, but we can all sort of make a judgment of like, do we want to go in depth on this or whatever? And if there's not enough relevant info, we can just say, you know, just pass on that agenda item. That makes sense. Thank you, Sean. That's excellent. And this is an example of why you're on this board and why we have open communication. This is democracy in action.
I thought the point of me being on the board was just to shove trees down everybody's throat and anger Tom left and right.
So I'm going to go ahead.
I just want to interrupt for one moment regarding like this whole conversation as well as future conversations. If you want to ahead of time let staff know that you want to have a certain discussion, we can add it to the agenda, and that allows the public to be able to weigh in on certain situations. That way it's not just a discussion that comes up at the end of the meeting.
That makes sense, and I appreciate it, and I didn't intend on that ballooning into that bigger discussion. I was intending on that being an update on the Omicron public art part, but I appreciate that.
Yeah, because then it would allow staff to be able to compile any information they may be able to have ahead of time and include that in the meeting.
And thank you for that, and that's appropriate. And this was actually literally a last minute thing that I got an email about this Yamacraw thing, and I was like, well, let me bring it up at this meeting. But thank you for Ryan. I'm going to bring up one more quick thing, and then we have one last thing that Ryan is going to inform us on. But I have a last question, and I wanted to ask staff if they have any information on the Confederate monuments in Forsyth Park, if there's any update on that.
There is not.
I'm shocked.
Staff's knowledge at this moment.
Shocked in my chair that there is no update. So my request is, and I don't know if the rest of the board wants to, Eileen, you weren't here. We have sent more than one letter to City Council urging them to act on the Civil War Memorial Task Force recommendations. One of those main recommendations is to remove those two Confederate busts and put them in storage until a time where the city can find an appropriate place for them. That is still outstanding. The City Council actually personally asked us to weigh in on that. We sent them a memo. A few months ago, reaffirming our recommendation for the task force. And so I'm going to ask, and I don't want to put staff on the hot seat here, but I would like to request if you could ask City Council and the mayor if there is any action on this or if there is any intended action on this. And I will ask the rest of the board if they have any other comments on this, but I would like to have some sort of answer on that. Sean.
Mr. Chairman, this is Sean. Thank you for the time. Real quick, I make a motion that we as a Historic Sites and Monuments Commission attend and present to a City Council workshop the urgency of exactly what we had sent multiple letters for, and I don't know the exact number. I would refer to staff on that one.
Urging. There's at least two.
The action.
So I have a second part to this, and let me table that motion for a second because I have a second. Let me throw this one out here. So I have spoken to. First of all, is there any objection to that request for staff to ask if there is any intention on making an action on our recommendation. That's my request. So I have a second part to this is I have spoken with numerous people about this issue all over the place. The DeKalb County city attorney I spoke with, and he told me that he has been in coordination with a number of other municipalities in getting rid of their Confederate memorials. He very publicly was instrumental in getting rid of the Confederate memorial in DeKalb County. He told me that he was more than willing to come present to city council and the mayor here if they were so willing. He was very diplomatic and didn't want to step on anyone's toes and says, you know, I'm not going to come if I'm not invited. I don't want to step on the city attorney's toes either. I relayed that information to the mayor and all of city council members. To my knowledge, they have not accepted that. So I was going to ask him to come to this commission and do his presentation to us, since city council and the mayor did not accept that invitation. And I was going to invite the mayor and city council to come if they'd like, but I would love for him to be on the record, because I would love to know a little bit more about the details of the legalities and illegalities of the process of removing these Confederate monuments. They've been removed all over the state of Georgia without recourse. In Alabama, there was one just in Virginia that the Virginia Supreme Court upheld. And I don't know why we're still waiting around for this. And it really annoys the hell out of me. And I will go on record as saying that, because I've been banging the drum for this for freaking ever. And I'm beyond frustrated, and I'm not going to shut up about it. I want these damn things out of there. And that's what I really think about it. So I'm interested to know what the rest of the board thinks about this. I'm not going to shut up about it. And if I have to keep pushing, I'll keep pushing. Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that's a great idea. Again, I reiterate, I think we as a commission, whether it be, and we just have one specific person, need to actually go in front of city council, and maybe that be after we have, and to clarify, at a workshop, because you get a lot more done
workshop,
at a workshop
than
at an actual meeting. We as get on the agenda, and maybe that involves after we have had the DeKalb County district.
That's if he accepts. And no, I don't want to put words in his
mouth. We've written enough letters. We've sent enough letters, yada, yada, yada. We need action, and we need to stop getting the nickname of Slow Vanna and actually just do it. I mean, I even said at a work meeting the other day, excuses are great, but at the end of the day, you have to do it. So rather than just continually sending the letters, just we as a commission need to get on the city council workshop. I'm sure staff knows how, can get us on that whenever.
I think we can just probably request it, right?
And
of the clerk of council.
If I may, I will tell you that it's a little bit. We would have to make a request, and it's up to city council and the clerk with regards to putting us on a workshop. But one of the things that I think that you all need to give some thought to and be mindful about is that one of the reasons you probably have not had that much movement is that there's a cost associated with it, and the city has been dealing with other budget issues. I think you have a much more effective argument if you've got some cost, so that if you're making your case, you're making a case for X amount of dollars that it would cost to move whatever the most problematic statutes and some place to deal with it as a receiving entity. But, you know, right now, I will tell you some of the things that are not necessarily happening as quick as you and probably others might like for other boards and commissions is because they cost money, and the city's having to make decisions with regards to where they prioritize their funds. You know, I'm not sure with regards to if they got CARES funds from the standpoint of the amount. I know they will get some funds, but, you know, I will say be very mindful about that, because there are some budget challenges. So it's nice to know. what the cost was. It would be interesting to find out what the cost was in the cab to move stuff. So I would use that person as a resource to find out how much did it cost, so that if you do decide to move forward with the workshop, you're not only saying this is what the problem is, you're saying this is one of the solutions, and this is approximately what some of the costs have been based on what other communities in the region or in the state have had to spend.
Okay, I appreciate that. I appreciate that input, and we'll definitely incorporate that. With all due respect, though, I have been pushing for this for many, many years, and cost has never been one of the issues that they have brought up. But I will take that into consideration for sure. And I think that there's definitely I don't want to demonize anyone on City Council or the mayor. I do think that there is somewhat of an appetite for movement on this. So I don't want to be too confrontational in this. And I do understand that there's a cost associated. That's never been one of the issues that anyone has ever brought up. It's been everything but that. But I appreciate that. I hear that. And I think that that's something that we should consider and talk about. But there is a point where it's like, okay, already. Enough. Like, let's do this already. Like, let's talk about cost. Let's do whatever. But let's have this conversation. So I don't want to beat a dead horse here, Ryan.
Oh, I just wanted to say.
But thank you, Melanie, for saying that. I appreciate that.
As other items that have come through you that went to City Council, I think it would be a good idea prior to just going ahead and making a motion today, fleshing out every detail that you want to have prior to making that motion.
So that's why I wanted to ask. So that was what my initial question. I would like to put it to City Council, and if they're already planning on doing something, then all of this is moot. So we don't have to go through all this. But hold on one second, Sean. I got you. That's why I wanted to ask at first, to ask them, is there any intention of movement? And if there is, then we'll just wait and like we can be patient and we can have this discussion about cost or whatever. And I'm happy to do that. I don't want to, and I understand that there's a lot of other things going on. There's also this a pandemic going on, which everyone's dealing with, and I'm very mindful of that. But this is also one of the things that they have on their plate, and I am determined to keep this as one of the things on their plate. As you know, there's a lot of things on everybody's plate. There's a lot of things on my plate. This is one of I will not be quiet about this. I will keep pushing for this. So I would like for staff to ask that question, and then when we get the answer to that question or not, then we can act accordingly. Does that make sense? And then Sean, you had a comment or question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Melanie, to your point, thank you. That's exactly what I'm saying about, we first need to decide if we want to go as a commission to City Council's workshop to present. Then we flush it out at another meeting. Like, for example, that's exactly what we're doing at the Park and Tree Commission. We first made the motion as to whether or not we want to even go and present our priorities to City Council. Then we had to narrow them down at another meeting. And now we're finalizing everything and say, hey, okay, we have all of our ducks in a row, including cost, yada, 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 all of the, every single line item out. So that way it's not just, oh yeah, hey, this is what we want. It's that detail driven, here's what it is. Cause we know already we're gonna be booted down at least 2 to 3 meetings once we actually get on the workshop. That's just the way everything always happens due to time constraints. I get it, I understand, that's not an issue at all. So that's why we're specifically taking all of these very fine, whatever the tooth, nail, fine comb, whatever the heck that idiom is, to address specifically those items. So that's just why I say, first we have to decide whether or not we want to do it. And then, because we have then we as a commission have decided, yes, we have that decision. We want to, here's how we're, and then we have to decide, how are we actually going to do it? And what are we going to talk about? That's also all I want to say.
Yeah. No, and that's why I wanted to do this in a sort of orderly way, like ask the question first. And I'm sorry I get passionate, I get frustrated with this, but I mean, for the record, I've been, as long as I've been on this board, I've been mentioning this, and I've been on this board for 8 years now. And I understand, you know, everybody has stuff on their plate, but 8 years, it shouldn't, those things shouldn't have been put there in the first place. But anyway, so moving on. If anyone else has any thoughts on that issue though, Tom, Lisa. Eileen. Okay. So if staff could get back to us, I mean, like, I don't want to press the issue. I know that like there's a lot of other things that city council is doing, but if we could get some answer on that and then we'll move from there. There is one last announcement that I think Ryan has for us. Or not.
This is Ryan Jarles. This will be my last meeting with you all. I will be leaving. My final day is April 16th. So that following HSMC meeting, I will not be here for you all. But until I leave, so April 16th, I will still be your contact leading up to that time. So you can still send me emails and things for the upcoming meeting until the 16th. And then I will no longer be able to accept those.
Well, we're sorry to actually, can I have it? Sorry. We're sorry to hear you leave, Brian, but we do have a little something for you. And I want to say again that your work has been phenomenal. And I mean, in the time you've been here, it's been super appreciated. And I know some of this work is thankless work, like for the master plan and stuff. That's something that it's important. And it doesn't always, you know, get recognized. But we do have a resolution here of appreciation, and I'm going to read it. It's a resolution of appreciation for Ryan Jarles, MPC cultural planner. Whereas Ryan Jarles was assigned to the Savannah Chatham County Sites and Monument Commission as MPC staff person, and whereas Ryan took the MPC leadership role in managing the commission's meetings and aiding in the training of the new board members, and whereas Ryan has announced that he is leaving the MPC to pursue his dream job in Rochester, New York. Is that the right verbiage for that?
Dream job? Yes, we'll go with that for now.
And whereas Ryan now leaves a legacy of his untiring efforts, which reflect as a credit to himself, the Metropolitan Planning Commission, and the community as a whole. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the Savannah Chatham County Sites and Monument Commission does hereby express their sincere appreciation and grateful thanks for the hard work, experience, dedication, and professionalism that Ryan has displayed in all of his interactions with the commission and the public. And be it further resolved that the commission wishes Ryan the rewards of happiness and fulfillment as he pursues his new career. Unanimously adopted. I should say, is this unanimously adopted without objection? This is unanimously adopted this first day of April 2021.
April Fools.
In recognition of 2 years of outstanding service. I was going to make some sort of comment. Ryan, this is for you. I might have jumped protocol, but we no opposition. Thank you, Ryan, and thank you, Melanie. I don't know if you're still here, but this was her idea, and I was thinking I don't know what we could do for Ryan, but I appreciate that idea. So thank you, Ryan, for that.
Thank you,
and all of your service.
I'll miss you greatly.
Do you have any parting words or words of wisdom?
I don't know. Put on the spot.
We'll miss
now.
You. We'll miss you. Good luck in your new job.
Thank you.
The next regular meeting is May 6th. Do we have an agenda for that? I mean, is that a set meeting?
We are supposed to be receiving an item that I know of, a mural that a City of Savannah department will be submitting. Not sure exactly what it is, but possibly will be received.
Okay, so the next meeting should be at May 6th. If there is no objection, then this meeting is adjourned.